Thanks for joining me. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick. On Friday this week, the Latin Rite liturgy celebrates the feast of the Chair of Peter, an ancient tradition which goes back to the 4th century. It's a day we give thanks to God for the mission he entrusted to the Apostle Peter and his successors. But who exactly was the Apostle Peter? To answer that question, we turn to scripture scholar Mark Coleridge, currently Archbishop of Canberra, Australia, who gives us a vivid account.
I want to introduce you to an extremely well-known Jewish businessman. He was in partnership with his brother Andrew, a married man, and his name was Simon Bar-Jonah. But history has come to know him much better by one of his nicknames. Just by the way, in the New Testament, there are nicknames left, right and centre. It seemed to be one of the specialties of Jesus. This particular Jewish businessman had the nickname of Kephas in his native language Aramaic, but better known in its Greek or Latin form as Peter. So let me introduce you to someone you know well, is St. Peter, who looms over this city in so many, many ways. Peter was one of the big three of those who left their boats behind, and who will ever know what happened in that extraordinary moment where he said, "Come, follow me," and they left everything, the boats, the business, the lot. The other two of the big three were the Zebedee boys, brothers James and John. Among those whom Jesus chose, there's no question that Peter was not just one of the big three, but that he was quite unique, because no one in the early church disagreed that Peter had received directly from Jesus a special commission and a special authority. In other words, something extraordinary and unique had passed between Jesus and Peter up there at Caesar Philippi. Now, who is this man? What is the personality of the man whom Jesus chose? This man of flesh and blood. Well, the first thing we can say about him is that he's an impetuous man, a man of passionate disposition. He's quick to speak. When Jesus asks, "Who do they say I am?" it's Peter who pipes up, "You are the Christ." He's quick to object. When Jesus then talks about the cross, Peter says, "How dare you talk about the cross? You can't be the Christ who is crucified." He's quick to act. Not only does he leave his boat and his business, but he also, in the Garden of Olives, pulls out the sword and goes whack and chops off the high priest's servant's ear. The same man is also quick to repent when he hears the cock crow three times and sees the Lord who looks at him. He goes out and weeps bitterly. He's slow to understand. Time and again in the Gospel, you have the impression that Peter is as thick as a brick. But once he does come to understand, almost always he's quick to act. But there's one exception, because there is a crucial moment where he holds back. And this is up in Antioch, where Christian missionary work really began. There he was, a Jewish Christian, sitting down and eating with Gentile Christians. Now, you must understand that for a Jew to sit down and eat at table with a Gentile offended his or her deepest sensibilities. Everything in him said no. But Peter was doing it. When the Jewish Christians come down from Jerusalem and say, "Stop, you can't eat with Gentiles, even if they are Christian," Peter withdraws. Now, this was the great brawl at Antioch about the relationship between Jew and Christian, or Jew and Gentile within Christianity. And at that point, Peter falls out with Paul. The two great apostles certainly did not see eye to eye. They fought, and they fought about issues that were not trivial. Their paths separate. They go their different ways. Ways that are not in the end in ultimate conflict, and that converge in the city of Rome in ways that they themselves could never have guessed. Peter eventually comes to Rome, probably sometime in the 60s, and it's here that he meets his death, because it's certain that the travelling apostle was one of the Christian leaders who met his death in Nero's Circus, what is now St. Peter's Square. Having met his death there, he was taken by the Christians of Rome and buried in one of the many cemeteries or common graves nearby. and now there rises over his grave the most magnificent tomb in the world, the great basilica that bears his name and the inscription to the Prince of the Apostles. I sometimes think if Peter himself walked into the basilica now, what would he think? I think at least he would understand the Galilean fisherman and the Jewish businessman, that what that magnificent tomb, the basilica, does is spell out the magnificence, not so much of Peter himself, but the magnificence of the witness he gave throughout the life that had to lead to death. So here is the man, the Prince of the Apostles, the Galilean fisherman, the Jewish businessman, who has left his stamp not only on the whole of the Christian family, but on the heart of each one of us.
A big thank you there to Scripture scholar Mark Coleridge, currently Archbishop of Canberra, Australia. Thanks for listening. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.